Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, and thanks for listening to the Burke Allen Show on the Blog Talk Radio Network. If you're listening live, it is the day before Thanksgiving 2012, and lots of families will gather together with kids all around. But there's a controversy that's brewing out there in the world of infertility. A staggering number of couples here in the United States struggle with the mysteries of infertility. According to the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology, 20% now of all American couples are infertile. Our guest is Dr. Masoud Kademy, and he founded the Society for the Prevention of Infertility about 15 years ago to battle what he calls a silent epidemic of infertility. And a full 80% of infertility is preventable, according to Dr. Kademy. Doctor, thanks for joining us on the Burke Allen Show.
My pleasure, Burke. Wish you and the audience a happy and healthy Thanksgiving.
Thank you very much. Now, you have a new book called Mr. President, Are You Listening? And you talk about infertility and the challenges of infertility, but you also touch on gun control. So let's start there. Tell me how those two things come together for you as a physician.
Yeah, this is something that just after the Aurora accident, and the book that I have written before called Doctor, Are You Listening? Just flashed in my mind that we are trying to preserve life, the sanctity of life. We try to provide children for family who are very anxious to have. And then at the same time, one crazy guy goes on the computer and orders ammunition and kills lots of people, and according to our Mr. Bloomberg, our mayor, by the end of another decade, hundreds of thousands of people would be killed just by lack of gun control law. So I came with the opinion that although we are fortunate to have Amendment Number 1, Amendment Number 2, that you can bear arm for your protection, but now we are not. As far as I'm concerned, I don't think that we need it. I think that this amendment is, we are proud of it. We are the greatest nation in the world because of these amendments. But now with the technology advancement, we should safeguard these amendments so an idiot do not go and buy ammunition and kill thousands of people. So I put this together with infertility.
Dr. Kademy, I should mention, and he spares no words, pulls no punches here, is a former White House and Congressional Physician of the Year. Dr. Kademy has a world-famous New York City-based fertility clinic, and he's our guest today, the author of Mr. President, Are You Listening?, available at Amazon.com and bookstores everywhere. Dr. Kademy, a lot of couples have turned to this science in infertility to help them do what Mother Nature can't. But there are a lot of risks there and a lot of moral and ethical dilemmas that these folks go through. Tell me about the typical couple that comes to see you for infertility treatment.
Well, right now we're seeing a lot of people that they come to us after one, two, three, four cycle of IVF and they failed. So they're not only exhausted financially, but also psychologically, they're totally exhausted. And they come to us for a possible remedy. And, you know, believe it or not, I have had cases that they have gone through the IVF three, four times. They gave up, and they went home and took their times, and bingo, spontaneously, they got pregnant without even our help. So I'm not against IVF. I think IVF has provided a service of parenthood for millions of people who otherwise couldn't. But we have to be realistic about this technology. This technology is only, according to the American standards, 25 to 30% per cycle successful. In other words, the people go and spend a lot of money and a lot of stress and so on and so forth, spend $15,000, $20,000 with only 25% chance of getting pregnant. Now, out of that, keep that in mind, out of that, number of them, they abort. Few of them are ectopic. So baby take home, which we refer to, that's important data for the audience to know, to ask their doctors, doctor, what is your success rate of baby take home success rate of IVF? And nobody asked that question, and nobody is candid to give the answer. The answer is even worse than, it's dismal, maybe 15%.
Wow.
So you tell me. You know.
And that's why you really focus in your practice then, as I understand it, there in New York City. And this is why so many celebrities come to you, so many folks that have tried for years and years to get pregnant from all walks of life. You really focus on what you call infertility prevention and fertility preservation and restoration.
And restoration. These are the brand new stuff that we started 15, 20 years ago. And, you know, the organizations such as American Fertility Society, first they laughed at us. They said, well, we have an IVF technology. We can get people pregnant. Why should we prevent infertility? The major problem with our healthcare system overall in every aspect, particularly this infertility, is that we do not pay attention to prevention. As Benjamin Franklin said, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure.
Uh-huh.
And this, we did it, and it's in the book. This study we did, that a few dollars will prevent hundreds and thousands of dollars in the long run if you don't pay any attention to the prevention of infertility.
Dr. Masood Kadamy is our guest today. The book you referred to is Mr. President, Are You Listening? It's brand new. It's a second edition and update of his previous book, Doctor, Are You Listening? The subtitle, From Gun Control Laws to the Saga of Infertility. And it's available now at Amazon.com, bookstores everywhere. And you have a toll-free number for folks to get the book as well, correct?
Yes, it's 1-888-349-2999. This is the Fertility Research Foundation toll-free number. They can call, and we'll ship them the book right away.
Very good. Dr. Kadamy is based in New York City, and the Fertility Research Center is something that he has overseen for almost two decades now as the executive director there and former White House and Congressional Physician of the Year. You spent some time with some pretty high-ranking folks. You know, there are on your website, there are photos of you and President and Mrs. Clinton. I know you were interviewed by Barbara Walters for a fertility special, and you've spent some time with First Lady Laura Bush. How much on the gun control piece do you think really is going to come from Washington versus, self-control and controlling your own destiny and getting your own hands on guns? What are your thoughts there?
Well, we have two issues in the book, and we propose this to the Congress. There is a letter to every single member of the Congress and Senate. We have letters to the White House, the First Lady, and the Vice President, not only the book, but the letter. We want them to address the issue of infertility, because in the Obama healthcare, there is not a single mention of infertility. And we have 20%, which is about 10 million couples in the United States. They suffer from infertility, and the statistics and the number is increasing drastically. So we should address this issue, shouldn't we? There
I
are
think
many,
you're right.
And one other thing is that the education should go in all levels of the society. The public should be educated on this. The Congress and Senate should be addressed. And the future physician of this country should be informed that there is a place for prevention, not only for other diseases like obesity, et cetera, but also infertility is 80% preventable. And we should address that. We should teach our future generation of physicians about this. Not too many people care about this, and I do care about it. And I have these two issues on the front line, and I expect that something should be done, and we should get Congress to promote education of prevention of infertility, preservation of the fertility throughout the country. Right now, we have 150,000 women who had their breast removed because of the breast cancer. younger generations, and they have been radiated and chemo radiation, and they lost the chances of being a mother, and that's a shame. We should address the issue of preservation of the fertility.
Well, and let's get into that a little bit. You talk about your focus being on infertility prevention and fertility preservation and restoration, because the frank numbers, the research numbers for IVF treatment is at best 25 to 30%, and when you factor in, as you call them, I guess it was the take-home rate of babies, it's much lower than that. How do you prevent infertility?
Well, there are four majors. Don't forget, there is a man and there is a woman. Okay, so it's a 50-50. In a woman, we have one of the major problems these days, obesity, smoking, sexually transmitted disease, and above all is age factor. Age is the most single important factors in infertility. Now our practice is all women over the age of 35, 40 who want to get pregnant for the first time. And I usually kid with them. I say, what were you when you were 25? and they start crying. They said, well, I didn't know that I can keep my fertility forever, you know?
Right, sure.
And that's true.
And isn't that more of a societal thing, though? I mean, you know, people have changed. You know, young women become career women, and they start their families later. And is it really an uphill battle here?
Yeah, but that is an issue that I think an educated woman should be educated about fertility, that it's not there forever. And if she knows that and she decides on her own to go and become a lawyer, doctor, and buy a house here and a limousine or a Mercedes-Benz and then think about having children, well, then that she made that decision with a knowledge. But if the problem is that most people don't know this issue, and we want to educate them, that's all.
And what about the restoration piece? You talk about fertility preservation and restoration as
right.
well.
You know, the transplantation of the uterus is an issue that has never been really addressed seriously, and we addressed that. And for the first time in the world, my group, a few doctors from all United States and Europe, we did transplantation of the uterus in sheep model. And then after a few months, we transferred an embryo, and the embryo went to the full term, and we delivered the baby sheep by cesarean section. This is published. This study successfully was done for the first time, and I think this is something that we can do it in human being. What kind of a human being? There are women born congenitally without the uterus, and there are women who have lost their uterus because of surgical procedure, cesarean section, or cancer, or fibroids. These women are candidates for transplantation of the uterus. This is one issue. Now, preservation of the fertility, as I told you, there are 100,000 women in the United States that they have lost they have had breast cancer, they had surgery, and then they had chemo radiation. Now, before chemo radiation, which destroys their ovaries, we take them, we give them certain drugs, we aspirate their eggs in a very simple setting in the office, and cryopreserve those eggs for future use. Once they go through the therapy and they become healthy again, they want to have a kid, we can transfer the embryos into their womb in the hope of being a mother.
And the success rate of that preservation?
Well, at one point, like up to 5 years ago, wasn't good. Because we didn't know how to freeze an embryo or an egg quickly and fast and properly. Now we have the technology available, and the preservation of the ovum is quite good. With the IVF, is close to 40 to 50%.
Wow!
Per cycle.
And that transplant of the uterus has not happened with humans yet. Do you see that happening
yes,
in the
did.
Next day?
Yes, it did. Yes, it did. It happened for the first time in Saudi Arabia. Unfortunately, that was rejected because the management was not proper. That wasn't by our team. Our team did it in the United States for the first time successfully on sheep. And now we are preparing models to do it in human beings. That is a little bit difficult in the United States because of all the legal matters. But in Europe, successful uterine transplantation on human being was done about 2 months ago.
Is
so
that
it
right?
is coming. Oh, yes. But I don't know the details of it, but I know that it happened, and hopefully someday it would be realistic in this country.
Dr. Masoud Kademi is a former White House and Congressional Physician of the Year, and he has some really strong opinions on both the infertility controversy and how it ties into gun control. And we're going to get into that with him when we return. And also, Doctor, when we come back, I want to talk to you about separating fact from fiction about which Americans are at the highest risk for infertility based on their environment and what happens around them. Can you stick around?
Sure.
Dr. Masoud Kademi is our guest, the author of Mr. President, Are You Listening? Available in bookstores everywhere and online at Amazon.com. Back right after this on The Burke Allen Show.
Over 14 million people witnessed his emotional story of survival and triumph on national television.
I've been doing this now for so long, ever since I was a kid.
Millions more voted him their favorite in a landslide win.
The winner is...
And now, you can be a part of the experience live.
Landau Eugene!
Landau Eugene Murphy Jr.
Ain't that a kick to the head?
Your America's Got Talent winner.
I've got you.
Landau Eugene Murphy Jr.
Under my
live. Performing classics from the Great American Songbook and his Columbia Records debut CD, That's Life.
That's Life.
Landau Eugene Murphy Jr.'s That's Life Tour. The one concert event this year you absolutely can't miss.
See Landau Eugene Murphy Jr. live. Get concert dates at LandauMurphyJr.com. Thanks for listening to the Burke Allen Show on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Our guest today is the author of Mr. President, Are You Listening? Dr. Masoud Kademi. He's based in New York City, a world-famous fertility doctor. And the new book is available at Amazon.com, bookstores everywhere. And we have a caller on the line. Bob is calling from Alabama. You have a question or comment for Dr. Kademi, Bob?
Yeah, Bob. This is Bob, yeah. And Doctor, I really applaud your stance on gun control. However, just coming through the election season, as a physician, you might agree with this. I'm not sure of your politics, but before we can do anything effective on gun control, we have to surgically remove the GOP from the wallet of the NRA. In Alabama, it's all everybody is so pro gun. Why can't you carry him to grade school? And they believe that guns don't kill deer kill deer. And I don't know how you move from the step of your goals there to the reality that I wish you much luck on, and that is sensible gun control in this political climate in which the NRA not only has their calls in the GOP, but the good Democrats are really frightened to speak out.
Yeah.
And Dr. Kademi, how do you feel about repealing the Second Amendment? And let's get into your thoughts there. You seem to have the ear of the White House and Congress. So what are your thoughts and what's your game plan?
I think that the First Amendment, Second Amendment, as I said, it is the greatest assets of us. And we've come to the stage, greatest nations in the world. But now we have to do something about these issues. The Second Amendment says that you can bear arms. Fine. Look, I live in this country. This is my adopted homeland. I've been here 45, 50 years. I never, ever felt that I needed a gun.
No, I agree.
So, I mean, this is all money. The NRA is that control. What is NRA, you said in your talk?
National Rifle Association.
They make a lot of money, and they give a lot of money, elect a lot of members, and I hate to become political on a medical issue, but I cannot stand this. I have written to the White House. I'm going to go there and talk to members of the Congress. They got to do something about gun control law. Did you hear Mr. Bloomberg, the mayor of New York City's opinion about gun control law? I agree with him 100%. He says in the future, hundreds of thousands of people are going to be killed because of lack of gun control law. Why should they kill? Why should let people who are healthy, walking to school, going to school and doing this and that, they should get killed by an idiot who has the First Amendment right? That's not right. That is not right.
Yeah, and the political climate, Doctor, is such that, unfortunately, we have a Supreme Court, and this goes to some of the other part of your book and your topic. You know, in beginning of life, we have pro-choice versus pro-life is so heavy, and what, you know, your goals with infertility, I think, cut through a lot of that because people do have a choice at that point. When they come to you, and I just think making that available, it's a shame that Obamacare did not address that.
Can you believe this? I was shocked. Although yes. I have sent my first book, Doctor, Are You Listening?, which deals about all issues of infertility and how infertile couples are at the mercy of paying money to this and that and not getting successful. I sent her two books about a year and a half ago. I never, ever received an answer. But now I'm going to go and carry a book myself and give it to the First Lady, Mr. President, and ask for an opinion because that's their job. The burden is on the shoulder of every member of the Congress who does not do anything about the gun control law, all these killings of innocent people.
Bob, thank you for calling, and certainly appreciate your questions today. And I do have to ask you, to play devil's advocate a little bit, Doctor. You know, Bob lives in a state, Alabama, where there's lots of outdoorsmen. How do you feel about these gentlemen who say, look, I have the right to carry a rifle. I have a right to be a hunter. You know, you're in New York City. You're in a metropolitan area. What do you know about these outdoorsmen?
Well, hunting is not some favorite of mine. Because I think, as I said, life is so precious. Even a deer, hunting a deer, in my book, in my mind, is not proper. So I don't want to. I know everybody has an opinion, but that's my opinion.
Fair enough, Bob. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, thank you, Burke and
thank
Dr.
You, Bob.
Thank you so much.
You bet. Our guest is Dr. Masoud Kademi. He's based in New York City, a world-famous infertility doctor, former White House and Congressional Physician of the Year. His new book is Mr. President, Are You Listening? So let's separate the fact from the fiction a little. Which Americans are at the highest risk for infertility? If it's an epidemic, as you say, then who's at risk based on their environment and what happens around them?
Well, the smokers. Smoking is very toxic to the ovary. Infectious disease. Especially the sexually transmitted one, the obesity, and the age in female. Now, the male, as I told you at the beginning, there's a male and a female. It makes two to tango. So we should not exclude men from this catastrophe. There are men who perform well in bed, and they think that they are fine. They can make a baby, but that's not so. We are finding a lot of men, totally normal, sexually normal. The sperm count is even normal, but there are some changes in their sperm DNA that they cannot produce a child. So that is an area, that's a whole area that hasn't even been discussed or addressed. But now we are addressing that issue, and as soon as we are able to come up with opinion, that will be the topic of my next book.
we'll keep that one in the back pocket of your lab jacket.
Right.
What about the safety concerns about IVF for mother and child? At what point do you look to these folks and just say, this is absolutely not a road that you should go down?
Well, there are issues and complications from the IVF industry. I think the greatest problem is failure rate with IVF that we discussed. Now, there are general side effects that are minimal, but one of the side effects that no one talks about it is genetic abnormalities in IVF babies comparing to the normal babies born or delivered or conceived spontaneously. An article from Europe studied this issue, and they have 1.8% increased risk of genetic abnormalities in babies born through IVF. Now, the sad part is, you know what? No one who provides the IVF industry for patients discusses this to the patients, and the patients don't have the knowledge and asking. This is what we're working, and this is what it is in my book. 1.8%, these babies are abnormal, genetically abnormal.
Wow. And what about the practice that you hear about occasionally, and I remember seeing a television special about this in one of the news magazine shows, about actually selecting sperm donors based on their IQ or certain physical qualities or characteristics. In your mind, does that sort of cross an ethical or moral boundary
yes.
in any way?
Yeah, definitely. You know, one of the topics that I teach at the Columbia School in New York City is this very same issue, ethics of advanced reproductive technology. The slippery slope is what you said. It's a good question, that choosing the color of the eye, and that is a fantasy. That I don't want to get involved. But what is important is gender selection. You know what that is? The couples want to have a baby boy and or girl. That is something that, in my book, it's totally ethical, because there are many genetic disorders that are transmitted from female to male, and then the female are healthy, but the male gets diseased seriously. There are 400 diseases such. So if you have a baby boy with a genetic disorders that X-linked, then you want to have a baby girl, or vice versa. This is genetic. There is another issue of the family balancing to the issue of the gender selection. These days, most families would like to have one, two, or three kids, no more. And they would like to have a boy, two girl, and a boy. So this is a technology that can provide this for them and provide them the gender that they don't have in their household. And there's nothing ethical about it, as long as you follow the guidelines that only provide it for the couples who have already 1-6 and wants the other.
And surrogate mothers, I'm sure you do some work in that world. You hear more and more about that. Thoughts on that from an ethical standpoint?
That is an issue that has an ethical considerations. We have to be very careful to provide the services to the single women or men, that they are, number one, they are not doing this erratically. We send them to a psychologist, to a psychiatrist, to evaluate them, their status of their mind. And also, they have to be able to physically and financially provide a loving household. And in those conditions, there is nothing wrong with it. I think we should provide this service to the couples of the same sex or single mothers.
Dr. Kademy, the clinical professor at New York University of Medicine, the founder and director of the Society for the Prevention of Human Infertility, a former White House and Congressional Physician of the Year, and I have to tell you, for a guy who spent as much time as you have on Capitol Hill, it's very refreshing to me to hear you pull no punches and to tell us exactly how you feel about infertility and especially how it ties into gun control. I mean, you're a guy who spent almost 5 decades trying to bring life into this world and to see it shot down senselessly. I can tell really affects you. So I appreciate you sharing very candid opinions with us today. The book is Mr. President, Are You Listening? It's available now online at Amazon.com. And where else can folks get the book, Doctor?
They can call our center, Fertility Research Foundation. The toll-free number is 888-349-2999. Or they can visit our website. Again, the website is frfbaby.com. That's it.
frfbaby.com.
Right.
And you can also call the toll-free number or pick it up at Amazon.com. Bookstores can order it as well. And I would imagine you'd be happy to inscribe the book if folks call the toll-free telephone number.
Exactly. Thank you so much.
Dr. Kademy is our guest today. It's been a fascinating conversation. Thank you so much for joining us, and thanks for listening wherever you are all over the world. And if you happen to be listening live today and not listening to the podcast, we wish you and your family the happiest of Thanksgivings. In Washington, D.C., I'm Burke Allen. Thanks for listening. Now, go out and make it a great day.